God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your kindness, Lord. We thank you for what you do for us on a daily basis, Lord. And we thank you most of all for what you have already done for us at the cross. You gave us life, not just life, but the life of your dear Son who lives in us and shall be with us forever. And we simply thank you. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let me see if I can get some. I got some kind of virus on my computer, so y'all gonna see these little crazy ads popping up trying to get me to buy some program that don't work. So just ignore it like I do. I gotta get my, he's a guru. Last week we was talking about that stuff. We were talking about Jehovah's Witness and who is this Jesus, because that's the center of their teaching is beat down Christ. Make Christ not Lord. Make Christ just a man. Make Christ just, you know, and then they go on with all this crazy stuff about what you find in the Septuagint, what you find in the first five books, what you don't find the J, you don't find this, you don't find it. Well, there's some more pointed questions you can ask them. And I promise you, this is just a surface. I didn't really dig because I didn't know I was going to be doing this. So this is something I'm starting. But I simply asked them, well, okay, well, in Genesis 3:15, which talks about how God put enmity between man and God after Adam and Eve's fall, he made the proclamation, he made the prophecy that he was going to bruise Satan's head. Satan's going to bruise his heel. What he was saying, folks, is Adam, Eve, y'all broke it. I'm going to eventually fix it. Way down the road, I'm going to come and I'm going to fix it. Now, it was God who put enmity between us and God because of Adam's sin, right? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, as the Jehovah's Witness, well, if God put the enmity, why is it that Christ that removed us? In Ephesians chapter 2. God put something, but Jesus Christ moved it. In Ephesians chapter 2, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments and ordinances, put to making himself twain one new man, which is saying, I've answered the prophecy that God made way back in Genesis. Jesus Christ did. Another thing you can ask them, what about the prophet to come? Who was the Old Testament talking about? In Isaiah 48:16, it says, come near unto me. Come near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. That sounds like a term used for God, right? And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Who's speaking? God and the Spirit sent me. So who's speaking that? Jesus Christ, right? They have sent me. He's talking about I'm going to come and finish the work. That's what he's saying. In Deuteronomy, you can ask them, well, who's this prophet to come? Moses said that God was going to raise up a prophet from among the people. And no, it's not the Honorable Muhammad, because he was anti-Semite. He was against the Jew. And Moses said here that he's going to raise somebody up from among the people, so it had to be Jewish, right? He's going to raise up a prophet, and that prophet's going to come. And if you read the rest of it, I won't. Y'all do it on your own time. I'm not doing your homework for you. But he's simply saying this prophet's going to be for real because he's going to make prophecies that actually come true. You're not going to have to stone him because every prophecy he makes is going to be accurate. You know, I could have told you it's going to rain today. But what if I said last Sunday, next Sunday at 7 o'clock precisely, it's going to rain? Stop at 9. You're going to start back at 1. And that happens. Y'all be asking me to give you some lottery numbers, right? But I could say, oh, it's going to rain. And then if you ask these Muhammad, who thinks that this is Muhammad, you say, well, give me two prophecies that he gave that came true. Zero. None. You could go through the Quran until you're blue in the face. You will not find one. So how do we know he was a prophet? Maybe no prophetic statements that came true. So you just a hoax. You like all these prophets flying around today. And you got hundreds of them. But this prophet was going to be from the nation of Israel. He's going to be Jewish. By the way, it was Jesus Christ. If you fast forward to the New Testament believers believe that that prophet was going to come because in John 1:15, asked the question, is this that prophet? When Christ came on the scene, is this that prophet that the Old Testament said would come? Now, if these apostles think that that apostle, that prophet was going to, you think they might identify him, right? And they did. That prophet was Christ. John the Baptist said, no, I'm not that prophet. As a matter of fact, I can't even carry his shoes. No, I'm not that prophet. But he said, well, who was that prophet? That prophet was Jesus Christ. Folks, the very last prophet. Now, I'm not talking about the two or three prophets that you had in the New Testament. They wrote no books. All the New Testament prophets did was confirm the apostles. That's it. They wrote no books, they did nothing. But the last prophet got the last word, right? Which is Jesus Christ. So you ask a Jehovah's Witness, well, here's what the Bible said about that prophet. First of all, let's get them, do you believe that Christ is that prophet that Moses spoke about in Deuteronomy 18? And if they say, yeah, now you got him nailed to the cross. You believe that Christ was that prophet? Well, let's look at, if you believe that, then you're being hypocritical. Oh, and John chapter 6 and Acts chapter 3, it also asks about, is this that prophet? In Isaiah 40, that prophet turns God. This is talking about John the Baptist making a path straight for the coming Messiah. And it says, make straight, make straight in the desert the highway for God. Well, I thought Christ was the one that John blazed the trail for. Well, it's the same. Jesus Christ and God. So it is him coming as a prophet, coming as God. Y'all know he came as king. He came as Messiah. So you're going to take away the total importance of Jesus Christ. You have got no salvation whatsoever. You got no way to God. You got none of that. If you say he's just a man, I don't care what letters you find in Septuagint. I don't care what you find in Apocrypha, whatever. What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? Who is he? What is his job? What is his mission? And then did he fulfill it? Because if he didn't, we're wasting our time here on Sunday, man. We can go out and party. And that's what Paul says. Christ be not risen, we can just go and have a ball. Well, not only did he not rise in the eyes of the Jehovah's Witness and other people, he's just a man. He's just a man, just a regular man. And we know that that's a lie. Second Samuel talked about him coming as king. He's going to rule and reign in perpetuity on the seat of David. My goodness, he's God, he's king, he's the prophet, he's Messiah, redeemer, justifier. Man, you do away with this guy, we got nothing. You want to play down God himself? Because that's what you do when you play down God. And oh, by the way, the Bible says if you don't, you have to know God the Son and God the Father. Because if you say, oh, I love Jesus Christ, but I don't believe in God, or vice versa, it don't work. And it'll never work. Folks, that's why he's the only one that ever came that had the right to say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. I'm the way to God, I am the life of God, and I'm the truth about God. Now, you accept that, or you look forward to a Christless eternity. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, it says, and the angels he had said, who make his angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire, but unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. I think he's talking about Christ here, right? Thy throne, O God, is forever. And yet you come across some people, and I love this one, say, well, if he was going to reign, he's going to reign forever. Why in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that Christ is going to turn the kingdom over to God? And I say, good question. Great question. You just made him God. Because in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, where it talks about Christ coming, but it speaks of God, whose hands will be pierced. Did God have his hands pierced? Yeah, in the person of Christ, right? Well, what about this kingdom? What about this rule? Well, Zechariah 14 says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day shall there be one Lord, and his name is one. Yes, Christ is going to rule forever. Yes, God is going to rule forever. Yes, the Spirit is going to rule forever because they're one. So for a Jehovah's Witness to tell you that Christ was just another good man. How many of y'all believe that? You got it half right. I think he was a great man. But I think he was a great God and Savior. As Paul writes, looking for what? The great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Yeah, you got it right. He was a good man. And he fulfilled the work of salvation for as many as believe. So the next time one knock on your door and say, well, let me tell you about this Christ, where you won't find him, let me show you the places that I do find him over and over and over again. And as I say, the first place to expect you to go is John chapter 1. And I know I'm going to save that last. And of course, to tell you, there's a little God and there's a big God. And my question to them is, in verse 12, as many then he all become sons of God, I ask them, the son of the big God. And they can't. What God is the son of? Is it the little one or is it the big one? See, this whole bunch of take them to John chapter 16 and say, in your Bible, you called him a he. Him. But yet, the force. And we recall some Bibles. I said, well, those folks who died who read your misprints, you mean you sent them to hell? I mean, the theology is so easy to poke holes, folks. Just the mere fact of them telling you that Jesus Christ was just a good man. And he was a good man, but he also is a great God and Savior. And my question to them always is, let me ask you a question. As a devout Jehovah's Witness, what do you do with your sin debt? And I tell them, let me help you answer that. You pass out watchtowers. And if you do enough of them, you'll never reach the height of the 144,000, so you might have a little life here on earth. You might. But if I go through the one who redeemed me, it tells me you got him, you got life. You got the Son, you got life. And folks, I'm sorry to tell you all this. He only offers one kind of life, and that's eternal life. It's not probationary life. It's not if you pass out watchtowers or enough tracks. You know, if the pastor came to me and said, I go and pass out tracks because I go to heaven. I tell him you need a spiritual examination. He go and pass out tracts because he know he's going to heaven. And I want to bring somebody with me. But you don't got Christ, you don't got life. And in 90% of the religions, they gotta take Christ's power away. Gotta. And it's nothing new. It's been happening. You had the Gnostics. You had all these people way back in Bible days who could show you another way. As Oprah said, I don't believe he is the only way. Well, that's fine and dandy, but when you transition, you're going to say, gave it a second thought because he's the only way. And if you're gonna spend your life beating down what the Bible says about Christ, man, you're spinning your wheel. Because it's all about him. All about him. When he made the yes, I'm going to put enmity because of what y'all did, that sin barrier. I'm also going to send somebody to remove it, which is Jesus Christ. Know Christ, you still got a barrier. Charles Russell can't bring you to God. I promise you he can't. I really promise you, folks, he cannot bring you to God. It took a just man. Peter puts it this way. The just for the unjust, for one purpose, to bring us to God. And in Louisiana language, has y'all been brought to God? If you know Christ, yes, you have. As a matter of fact, he's seated at the right hand where the Father is, in heavenly places, because you're in the Son. Folks, you can't do away with the Son and have God. It's impossible. The whole Bible is about Christ. The whole Bible. Genesis to Revelation. The rock that the Israelites followed, who was that rock? Jesus Christ. It's that 1 Corinthians 10, I think, 1, 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, 4. That rock was Christ. Think about that. People say, well, you mean to tell me Christ is in the Old Testament? All over it. I had a Jehovah's Witness come to the house years ago. I invited him in, and he had a little 12-year-old son. I invited him in, sat at the table. I said, I'm going to have a dialogue, point, counterpoint. If you don't agree to that, we can't. Oh, okay, that's fine. And everything he bought was so easy to disprove. When I showed him after an hour or more, he said, well, I don't know the scriptures like you, but can I come back with an elder? I said, yeah, bring three or four of them. No problem. He did. A couple of weeks later, he came back with the elder. He said, come on in. He come rushing in. I said, time out. Let's set some ground rules. You're probably going to leave here of the same persuasion. I know I am. I said, but I can share with you some truth I know, and I'll accept the truth that you share with me, but it's got to be truth. And I asked him three questions. First of all, who was Christ? What was he sent to do? Did he accomplish it? In the statement I just told you a while back, in John 1:1, when he says, when he talks about a little God and a big God, as they say, I asked him, I said, when I received that God in John chapter 12, which one I become a son of? Is it the little God or the big God? Because if it's the little God, I got a bunch of work to do, so maybe that's why y'all so busy. You know, he answered zero question, and the guy told me to my face, I guess I'm 0 for 3. I said, yes, you're 0 for 3. And then everything he threw up, I said, that can't be true. If that's true, then God is a liar. And God says that it's impossible for him to lie. He tells me, I got the Son, I got life. Don't got the Son, don't got life. Liar, because you tell me I don't need the Son. I got this Christ, I've passed. You telling me, really, in your actions, there's no such thing as life. In other words, we working to hope that we'll get a position here on earth because we never reached 144,000. I asked him, I said, well, okay, those elders, those 144,000 that y'all cooked up, what tribe are they from? And they look at you like, what you talking about? I said, well, as I understand, those tribes are from Israel. You got to understand. I said, no, but you circumvent the scripture that says, 12 from this tribe, 12 from that tribe. I said, is that Jehovah's Witness from across the world, one tribe from New York and one tribe? I said, then you still have, if you're just going to be in America, you have 50 tribes. You're going to do one for each state? He said, oh, you're being funny. No, I'm not being funny. I'm being serious. Which tribe are these people from? The Bible clearly states that these are tribes from Israel. Then I asked him, I said, no, I guess y'all get two extra. That's the two witnesses. Y'all don't get, they don't care to get to that because it's not a doctrine with them. It's about what the watchtower says. Watchtower. And I asked him, I said, do you realize? And you ask him this question. Where did your religion originate? What do you mean? I said, where did it originate? Say it wasn't Taze Russell. He got a revelation from an angel. Same thing with Mormonism. And that's why Paul said, if I, an angel from heaven, teach any other gospel, let him be a curse. There's no gospel apart from Christ. He is the gospel. That's why he can say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, regardless of what Oprah believes, that there are other ways. There is, but they all lead to destruction. You're either going to be on the narrow road, which is Jesus Christ, or you're going to be on the broad road with all kinds of religion. It doesn't matter what's on the inside. You can call it Catholic beliefs. You can call it whatever you want to. If it's not based on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's me. It's dead. And you can stand before God and say, without sin, I circumvented your son, but I had a lot of works. I did this, I did that. He's going to say, I do you. Man, think about that. That's the last shot. That's it. You can't say, send me back and let me do it again. They say, no, I'm going to judge you by the very thing that you thought could bring you to me. I'm going to judge you by your works. And it's just going to determine how many degrees going to be on the oven